Welcome to the New Mexico Financial Institutions Division's broadcast on financial education topics with leaders, advocates, and practitioners in our beautiful state of New Mexico. Our focus is on financial capability strategies at the state, tribal, community, and programmatic levels. This is your host, Vicki Oldman. I would like to introduce our guest, Justine Correa. And she currently works with an organization called Native Community Capital. And within that organization, she is the New Mexico unit manager. She can tell us a little bit more about that. She's definitely deeply rooted in her community. She's very grounded, and it's important for her to stay in her community. She raises her family there in the community, surrounded by her community members. She comes from Laguna Pueblo and stays grounded not only with culture, community, but with her family, and likes to go fishing and camping. And she's also a singer, I've learned. Anyway, with her work with Native Community Capital, she has this passion, and she's in a role where she assists families and provides credit counseling, financial education, and really preparing community members, residents, relatives towards home ownership. So she does education on home ownership. So she's has over a decade of experience in working with community members and other practitioners in the field. So Justine, thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Thank you, Vicki, for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you and kind of go over just a lot of things, you know, that's happening within the Native community and what our foundation is doing and what I'm doing personally. So I really enjoy what I do, and it's good to get on here and kind of talk about that with you.
Yes, thank you again. So let's learn a little. You know what? I love what you said about like what's happening in the community. Before we jump into your work, just let's start with a little bit about the community that you live in, and maybe communities that you are working with, like. In terms of just the groundness of culture and community, do you find that that's still so relevant, so important, and how people are still embracing those traditions and way of life now in, you know, 2020?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like we as a community and our culture kind of prepares us for these hard times. You know, as you say, 2020, there's a lot of craziness going on in the world, and definitely my experience, you know, being grounded with my traditions, my beliefs, you know, the way of life, I feel like it's really prepared me and benefited me to where I'm able to live and keep my sanity and really, you know, raise my children to have those same values. You know, we pray for everyone. We try to treat everyone the way we want to be treated. And, you know, everything that's going on in the world, it seems like those core values of love, respect, community, you know, watching out for our elders, watching out for our family, our neighbor, that's really what's needed right now, you know, in terms of if you think about COVID, if you think about, you know, just a lot of the racial injustices, you know, with those values, it kind of tackles, you know, a lot of those issues. And so I'm blessed to have been raised in my community where I, you know, like I said, a lot of those things are what we live by and what we try to pass on to the generations and what I'm trying to teach my children. And so through all of this, you know, it really has strengthened a lot of you know, my beliefs, my values, but it's also brought the community, I feel, together from a distance, if you could say. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, our community here in Laguna and communities throughout that are like this, you know, tribal communities, Native communities, we all kind of have a similar belief. And I feel like that, you know, is going to help us get through this hard time. So, you know, being able to work with a lot of families in the line of work that I do, it's really what I love the most is working with the families. And I see that, you know, a lot of us are very similar and we're very blessed, but we still have a lot to do. We still have a lot to overcome, and we can do it. And it just, you know, it takes all of us together to really voice our opinions and to really get to our end goal, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for just shifting with me on that. The reason why I felt like that's important for us to lay down some context about community, you know, our Native communities and how the foundational pieces of how we operate and work and connect is through values, these values of connection, the values of family, the values of sort of the shared generosity, and also the values of just really staying grounded and how having those pieces help us in hard times. I just love what you said there, because in the end, you know, this financial sort of series is, you know, I tell folks, I see finances, money as a tool. So if we're looking at planting out there, right, it's one of the shovels. Right. It's a tool to help you get to where you need to get to. In the end, what really helps us to move forward in using these tools is living by our values and modeling that, because that's what helps us get to where we need to get to. So thank you so much for laying that context. And the other thing that came to my mind as I was listening to you is, because you know how to navigate and because you come from the community and you're still connected, it's easier for you to navigate and know what community members need and how maybe to explain financial concepts to them so that there's an easier connection. Because when you talk about finances, it's, well, first of all, people are really guarded because it's personal information, or it's very right. overwhelming. Like it's a lot, like, you know, and so you right. know, most Native communities are, you know, used to the cash system, bartering system. And so, you know, over the years, as, you know, banks came into place and checking and now online, like, and now you can do things on the phone. It's always changing. So it's, you know, you as a practitioner have to keep up with that, as well as knowing how to navigate on the ground to educate families. So I'm trying to like weave in what really matters in the community to these tools and how important they both are and how they can serve us. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah, definitely. I'm, you know, preparing Native families and trying to get them to meet their goals, you know, is, like I said, one of the most enjoyable aspects of my job. And I truly believe, you know, as a Native American woman and head of my household, that once you have a good handle of your finances and a pretty good idea of your financial future, it gives you so many more opportunities, not only for yourself, but your family, your community. You know, if you're looking to go beyond that, you know, beyond your family, but definitely tools. I liked how you said that, you know, if you're wanting to do something or build something, you need the tools. And so I feel like that is really where, you know, people like myself and organizations like Native Community Capital come in, and they're here, you know, I'm here to really help our brothers and sisters, you know, understand, you know, their credit, their financial situation, and identify their goals. You know, sometimes working with families, they don't always know where to start, because like you said, you know, it can be overwhelming. And sometimes, you know, some families don't talk about finances. Sometimes, you know, we're really taught to be humble and, you know, sometimes keep to ourselves. And so sometimes people have a hard time opening up when they're talking about these very personal aspects of their life, and really opening the door up for conversation and for insight and making clients feel comfortable is one of the key things that I think, you know, I've been able to do, and really just have a conversation and coming from a place of understanding instead of, you know, I feel like if you go to a bank sometimes, you know, they really just want to see what's on paper, and you're not always necessarily given the chance to tell a story or to give your side of the story and really let someone know where you're coming from and what your situation is. So I feel like, you know, it really takes a pretty unique company and really, you know, grounded, like you said, individuals to open up and listen to our brothers and sisters to try to help them, you know, get to and reach these goals.
I love what you're mentioning here about how you all work with communities, particularly, you know, as you're describing, it sounds to me you guys are very thoughtful about and preparing families towards whatever asset they're attaining. In this case, it sounds like you're talking about homeownership, but what I'm hearing you say is the approach matters, like how we approach our clients, you know, how we connect Correct. With them. And I also heard, as well as sort of like the pace, you know, like spending time almost, you know, let's go to the bank or let's see what the bank would offer, the financial institutions. And so I say pace because sometimes I find that when you go too fast, you know, and don't slow down enough to really talk through and allow opportunity for the information to kind of sink in and questions. So pace is important. And then I also heard a little bit about, like, you didn't say the word timing, but you're describing that time is important in the sense of, it, you know, kind of goes with, you know, it's going to be repetition. It's going to take time to build a relationship. It's going to take time to go through the process. It's not just instantaneous, is kind of what I'm Correct. Hearing. So let's talk a little, I want to go back to the families, but let's give folks information. Again, you had referred about how you all work with families, Native Community Capital. Tell us a little bit about Native Community Capital, because there may be individuals who've never heard of you all. Where are you all located, sort of your footprint, your mission, you know, your target market, you know, who can access your services. So if you can tell us a little bit about your organization, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, sure. So Native Community Capital is a Native Community Development Financial Institution, or Native CDFI for short. The CDFI designation is from the U.S. Department of Treasury, and it's for financial institutions that serve areas that, you know, regular banks don't typically service. So, you know, areas like the inner city or reservations are kind of the target. We're an independent nonprofit organization, and we're actually the first Native CDFI that came about from three separate Native CDFIs. And, you know, the three decided to work together so we could come together and do more than what we could have done otherwise independently. You know, the whole idea of we're stronger together and trying to help more people have a bigger service area. We work mostly in New Mexico and Arizona, but also other tribal lands in the western U.S. And so we work sort of like a financial translator. So we help banks understand how business is done in Indian country, and then we help Native people get loans or have, you know, access to capital. And sometimes, you know, we utilize our money. Sometimes we utilize those of our partners and investors. And we definitely, you know, strive to help, you know, each client get connected and pointed in the right direction. So even if it's, you know, not us necessarily helping them directly, we also have, you know, partners and resources that we can bring into the mix and really give, you know, our clients options. Like you said, you know, in order to build something, you want to have tools and you also want to have options. So that way, you know, they can choose and be directed down a path that's, you know, going to fit them and their family and their needs.
Wonderful. So three large CDFIs, Community Development Financial Institutions, came together, and your footprint primarily right now is New Mexico and Arizona. You said other tribal lands in the west or east?
Where? In the western U.S.
Western. Okay. That I didn't know. That's interesting. Okay. And so I don't know. Let's talk a little bit about this, the CDFI. People may not know what a CDFI is, Community Development Financial Institutions. You all are not a depository bank. You all provide loans.
Right.
So you provide loans to individuals, consumers, our relatives, our people. What type of loans do you offer?
So as far as NCC goes, we do some small community-oriented loan products. So we do actually provide, you know, a lot of credit builder loans. So loans that might be, you know, a small amount, short term, pretty low interest rate, so people can begin to build some credit. Those who might be recovering from, you know, bankruptcy, or those who are fairly young, or those who just haven't built credit. Sometimes it's hard to access credit on you know, tribal lands, especially those who might be artists or, you know, they have their own business, stuff like that. So sometimes it's harder for them. So credit builder loan product is something that can help, you know, people with that. Another loan product we do have is a, you know, small home improvement loan. There's a lot of you know, our clients, our brothers and sisters that want to, you know, add a porch or, extend their bedroom a little bit. And so we do provide those. Also a debt consolidation loan. We try to prepare people for home ownership. And so with that, sometimes our clients do need to consolidate some of their debt and tackle that and get it set up into a better financial position before they can fully take on a mortgage. So that's another product that we do have. And then once you kind of start building, you know, we do have mortgage loans and construction loans. So if you're wanting to build, you know, a new home on the reservation, we're able to help you with those funds, you know, if you qualify. And also, you know, mortgage loans, particularly here in Laguna, you know, they have a really good mortgage program. And, you know, we're building to get up to where we can actually just in-house hold our mortgages for those on tribal land. So there's, you know, those are some of the main products that we have as far as loan products go. And yes, you know, we're not a depository institution, but we do those loans, and we do offer a lot of, you know, technical assistance on how to kind of maneuver through the process of getting a home. And then the other leg of what we do as well is we do small business loans for Native entrepreneurs. And so, you know, that's kind of like a whole other leg in itself, is, you know, business loans, business lending. And so that whole idea again of coming together to service more people was really at the heart of the, I guess you would say, the merge of these three CDFIs.
Wow. That's amazing. I did not know you guys did construction loans, but that makes sense because I know one of the three CDFIs, that's sort of what one of their focus was.
Right.
Some really great opportunities here. And so I wanted to be clear because you said, you know, the footprint here in New Mexico, clearly, and then you also go in Arizona. So do individuals who can apply, you know, or is curious about accessing your loan products, do they have to live on a tribal land in, you know, on a Native community reservation? Can it be individuals who live in the urban setting? Do they have to be Native? So I'm curious about the profile of the client.
So we do try to put an emphasis on reservation lending just because it might be a little bit more difficult for those individuals to access funds or financing, especially when it comes to a home, because, you know, there's a lot of issues around land and that process. So we try to have a main focus on tribal lending, but anyone can utilize our services. You know, we have people that have consolidation loans with us that are enrolled tribal members but live in Albuquerque or in the city. We have people that have utilized our services that are from surrounding communities that aren't Native American. So it really depends. I feel like because we kind of have a base here in Laguna, we do have an office here in Laguna, and there's another office in Mesa, Arizona. A lot of the people that know us are from this area, and it kind of just spread out. So, you know, to answer your question, you know, we do have kind of an emphasis on reservation lending or tribal lending, but when it comes down to it, we're available to help anybody that seeks us out.
Wonderful. And that makes sense. You know, a lot of folks may or may not know access to credit on tribal lands is very hard. Like there's not a lot of banks in all, you know, the communities here, tribal communities here. So, you know, having a specific emphasis on that is important for folks to know, but you're also open to helping folks that may be living in, you know, the surrounding cities that are Native that are looking to buy a home for themselves. You had mentioned, so I wanted to emphasize about the home ownership component. I mean, it sounds to me like you all have kind of mapped out or have a sense of the process for clients, because you had mentioned, like, you know, folks want to get to, you know, home ownership. It sounds like there's definitely some loan products that can help them clean up their finances if they're, you know, like their debt, or even to get credit or build credit. So there are some products there to kind of help with that situation. And then do you mind sharing a little overview of, like, if, you know, I want to become a homeowner, I want to buy a home or build a home, just if you can give us, you know, sky level view of what would that process be like, and how do you guys prepare individuals towards home ownership?
Yeah, sure. So I'd say definitely one thing. So I really like stories. So I'm not going to say any names or anything, but, you know, stories have definitely helped to make things a little bit more relatable. I had a family that I was working with, and they, you know, they walked in and they said, you know, we want a home. We need to get into a home. What can we do? And so, you know, at that point, you know, I was still fairly new to this, and I just started helping them map out their goals and, you know, the timing. You know, they wanted to be in it within the next couple of years. They wanted to, you know, even down to how many bedrooms that they wanted. And so I said, okay, this is your goal. You know, you want your home, you want this for yourselves and your children. Now, how do we get there? So again, like I said, the roadmap to get there, if they see the end goal, they get a little bit more encouraged to follow the process, because it can be a lengthy process. This particular family, it took them three and a half years from the time they walked in the door here to the time when they actually closed on a construction loan for their home. And so it took them 3 years. We started them off by, you know, of course, laying out their options, whether they wanted to go through, you know, a HUD 184 loan product where we would do the construction loan, whether they wanted to go through a local, you know, loan product, home loan product here with Laguna. You know, they were exploring a lot of different options on what they could do. And so it was really letting them know what the difference was between the two. You know, they had some blemishes on their credit. They also had a lot of debt. So what we were able to do and help them with is do a debt consolidation loan for them, where we just combined all of their debt. You know, we went ahead and paid it off, and then set the loan with us at a pretty short term of 3 years, actually. And, you know, had them with a really pretty reasonable interest rate, and they were able to pay it off. What that did is it boosted their credit, and it helped them get set up in a easier place to where they were able to afford more or qualify for more when it came to getting their mortgage. And so definitely one of the trickiest things throughout the process is ensuring that there's land available, and that process of making sure, you know, you can lease it and it's properly recorded. And so, you know, that took a lot of time. It took about a year and a half for that particular family to get those issues resolved. And so, you know, through all of this, we've helped them understand their credit a little bit better. We helped them with their debt. We helped them, you know, secure their land. We helped them decide which, you know, products they wanted to go with. And then we just, there's a, kind of a weird period of time that passes when people are getting towards, you know, the end of actually closing on a loan. And then they start getting the itch of wanting to open up lines of credit to buy furniture or buy appliances. And we have to just kind of tell them, you know, you might want to wait for a little bit. Let's wait until everything's set and done, and then you can start doing that. Because some people don't understand that they need to remain qualified through the process of the loan, because that could essentially throw off the ratios and disqualify them. And so just really having that open channel of communication with them, letting them know, you know, if you do this, this might happen. But walking them through that process of making sure, you know, their debt, their credit, their financial situation is good, and preparing them for even that payment shock if, you know, they're not, if they're first time home buyers, you know, if they haven't had this big of a purchase made, because buying a home is probably one of the biggest purchases you'll ever make. And it usually only happens once for most families, especially within the Native communities, because we do value our homes and our families. Once we have a home, you know, we really put a lot into it, and we keep it and we pass it down. You know, land is very sacred. Our homes are very sacred. Our families are very sacred. So, you know, this is a process that a lot of people only do once in their life, and it can be overwhelming. It can be intimidating. But, you know, like you said, when you have that education, when you have the resources, it gives you the tools to build on that and to make these these dreams and goals a reality. And so we empower these people, these families, to really, you know, take control and build something, you know, for their families and for themselves. And it, you know, it took about, like I said, 3.5 years, to work with this family, mentor this family. And they closed on their loan, and, you know, they had 6 months of construction, and then they were in their home. And, you know, I see them and I'm very proud of them, because it's not easy, you know, having to budget, and get on track when you didn't necessarily do that before, and then to keep on and keep doing it and making it a habit. It takes time. And, you know, like you mentioned before, you know, it's a time issue. You can really stick with it and see it flourish. And some people, don't take as long as others, but definitely, you know, when you get there and you get a hang of it, it's very, very rewarding. And it's really rewarding to see, you know, these families and how happy they are with their homes, and really taking control of their, you know, financial situation.
Oh, thank you so much. That you have said so much. Like, I'm, you know, noting like some highlights. First of all, I totally in agreement with you about story. I love stories too. And thank you for sharing that story, because so much I could harvest from that. And, you know, so one is like 3.5 years. That's like a blink of an eye. That's, you know, that is fast, I think. I mean, probably in not on tribal lands, you could, you know, if you have everything in place, your finances good, you can get a home like, you know, soon. However, what I think a lot of folks are not aware of is, you know, if you're getting a home on tribal land as a whole, that whole land process, because you said that took 1.5 years. So that's where the chunk of time, you think about the 3.5, right? 3.5 of that 3.5, a year and a half of that was just dealing with the land situation. So timing, you know, I'm pretty impressed. 3.5 years, you know, to get all of that. And what you've also mentioned was sort of like part of your process, I love, is sort of this, you all sound like you are clearly like trainers and educators. You're also sort of like the technical expert to kind of tell families, go here, you need to go there. You're helping them with their roadmap so they know where they need to go next and what needs to happen. And you all are like a coach, like, you know, cheerleader, like, come on, you got to do this. And also preparing them. You're almost aware of like where folks are going to be emotionally on their roadmap, particularly at the end. You're saying like they get itchy, they want to start spending. You're like, no. And you're like through the whole process, that 3.5 year process, you're also just staying connected and having open communication and really just keeping them on track, you know, helping them to keep on track. And I also heard from what you shared in that story, some challenges that you've noted that I'm sure may be relevant to other families who are trying to do this. And it may even be for a business, but we're talking specifically about homes here, that, you know, it takes their time, you know, the challenge is their time. They're going to have to be committed to this. Like if they really want it, and you said, you know, if you help them with the visioning process and they see the vision, you know, that's sort of, that gets them excited and focused. I heard, you know, so there's that challenge of like getting them inspired and committed to doing this. Also, I heard sort of like some of the financial challenges, potentially like, you know, no credit, or credit needs to be repaired or built, you know, so you can get access to additional credit for, you know, the home, debt, to deal with debt. So if there's high debt, you help them work on that. And then I love the thought of how you all help them with scenarios. You know, if this were to happen, if you do this, this is, you know, this might happen, or if this situation comes, so the scenario. So when that time comes, they remember those scenarios of the situation that may arise during this process. And I think the one thing that I heard you say, one of the challenges is discipline, you know, and I said discipline, but you were describing of how it's hard to get a home because you have to, you know, to some degree make sacrifices and how you're managing your money. You may not be able to go on the trip that you wanted to go on because that's the money that's going to go to the home. And I absolutely just thought this was beautiful in how you shared with our listeners that, you know, for us as Native people, this is typically a one-time sort of purchase, you know, and we see this home as sacred and it's on sacred lands. And it, you know, because this home is a witness to many things, right? And that, and so we see it that way. It's not like, you know, we're going to buy it and then sell it, or we're going to have multiple homes. And, you know, it's not that sort of monopoly game. It's more like this is a part of us, and this is going to be passed on and immerse. And it's even in the community, right? It's in the community. And so anyway, I just thought that was really beautiful. And I just wanted to just highlight even that perspective, that view of how we see specific assets differently than maybe a market economy would see it, right? So, right. Yeah.
And it's completely different, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, you know, off tribal lands or the reservation, you know, you can close on a house and be in a house in 45 to 60 days. And so, you know, that whole, you know, discipline and really building and creating a vision on, you know, your home and what you want for yourself and your family. You know, the 3.5 years is long, but it's pretty typical if you're looking to build on tribal land. But, you know, I was raised to really think about, you know, the future. And, you know, my parents always told me, you know, things aren't going to come easy. And, you know, if you work for it and you sacrifice, in the end, it's going to, one, mean more, and two, you're going to take care of it. You're going to take care of it, and you're going to make sure, you know, you're building on it. And so, you know, that's another thing. You know, I feel that it's a long time. It's a sacrifice, you know, but it's super, super rewarding, you know, once it does come in, you know, fruition, and it's amazing.
Thank you so much. This interview was such a delight, first of all, to connect with you and have you share what you do and how you connect to community and how I feel like it's so aligned with what your organization does to really, you know, connecting with the community and helping them, you know, to meet the goals that they want, the vision that they want. And so how do folks contact you? Do you want to share folks maybe your phone number, maybe the website? And if folks are interested, you know, they can reach out. How can folks? And then maybe any final comment to wrap us up?
Yeah, sure. So we are actually doing a lot in the area of incorporating a lot more technology within our organization. And so I do encourage people to check out our website. You know, we're going to be at nativecap.org. You know, you can read about us and kind of who our partners are, what our products are. You can contact us through there. And people are always welcome to reach out to me at our office. So our office number is going to be 505-552-7050. You know, and at any time, you know, we're all working through a lot of the different changes that are happening as far as social distancing goes, and kind of, you know, having our practices shift a little bit, but we're still here to help. You know, especially myself, you know, I really love working with families. I really love working with Native peoples. And so, you know, give us a call or visit us at our website, and we're happy to help you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you taking the time to just talk with us and sharing such an inspiring story for others who want to become homeowners, and also learning a little bit about what your city of Phi does. And so hopefully folks will be giving you all a call. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Have a wonderful day, and be well.
You're welcome. Thank you. It was my pleasure, Vicki. I appreciate it.
For more information or questions about today's topic, contact Native Community Capital at 505-552-7050. Our next guest will be with Jamie Glashe with Roan Horse Consulting and Native Women Lead. This is your host, Vicki Oldman. Ahyahat. Thank you for joining us.